Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week, we are talking a bit more about Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince. We're still playing it, me in post-game and BJ in the story. Still gonna keep stuff kind of spoiler-free, but also we're kind of far enough along now, both in playthroughs, but also like how long the game has been out, that you might hear some spoilers for like early to mid game spoilers, let's call it. First thing I wanted to talk about in today's episode, something we've kind of been holding out on, is talking about the different dungeons and like echelons that you visit. What do you think of them overall? Before I say what I'm going to say, how have you found them to be overall?
Okay, so I'm still in the lower echelons, and I am in the third one of the lower echelons, the Circle of Caprice, and I'm actually a little frustrated with it.
Yeah, I think you're in the final one before you do the middle stuff, I believe.
Yeah, probably so. It makes sense. I think there were three at the bottom, is what it said earlier, or something like that, or maybe I made it up, but... I'm there. I beat the E cup so that I could get here and in the mausoleum. And then I was really frustrated until probably about 20 minutes ago when I finally found my way through the, I was playing it and I got my way through finally, the season changed and gave me access to where I friggin' needed to go. Like, I was wandering around through, like, two other seasons until, like, summer came and dried up all the water, and I was finally able to go where I needed to instead of just having to go around and scout monsters and fight, which was fine, but it was really frustrating not being able to even find a path to the goal. I had the flag on the map, and I couldn't figure out where to go.
I have not encountered that problem. I didn't realize that was a thing. So you get locked out. Okay.
Maybe I'm stupid and missed away. Like, but
tell me which one that is, because it's been a long time since I was in the lower echelon of the Caprice one.
This was the one where you had to go, and it was the first time you saw golems, and you fight the crystal golem while you're looking for like the Pentaveret crystal or something, whatever it was called. And I could not get to the cave across the like water until there was either no water or it was frozen, and it just stopped me from doing it. And I may be stupid and couldn't find a way across otherwise, if there were other paths that you can take during different seasons, but I really could not figure out how to cross from the land, from the shore on one side to the shore on the other, where I went to go into the Crystal Cavern. Like, if there's another way, then it really, really was obfuscated where I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I could not. I don't remember what season. See, this is the problem. It's been so long since I was there. I can't remember. Like, I know that echelon or that area, that Circle of Nadiria, because, you know, you go back there several times. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm having a hard time remembering. I don't remember what season it was there at all. I actually did not have, that's one of the things I was going to talk about today. I actually did not have trouble with exploration, even though some of the dungeons get a little tricky starting around, I want to say probably once you get to the middle echelons, like the actual dungeons require some, you know, it's the map is blacked out until you explore everywhere, and there's like portals you have to stand on to find certain things. And I had now, kind of a similar... Go ahead.
When you say dungeon, you're actually meaning the end caves and things like that, the dungeon part of it at the end of the circle, not the, like, area of the circle itself, right? The ones
where
you get the teleport and everything back and forth from the beginning to the beginning to the very near the very end.
Right, yeah, so...
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were referring to the circles as dungeons overall. I gotcha.
No. So to people, I guess, who haven't played, who are listening to this episode, the way the game is set up is you essentially unlock different areas of Nideria. It starts with lower, and then, you know, work your way up to middle, upper, all that kind of stuff. Then you, so anyway, you do that, and each area that you unlock that's a different layer of that circle, you have kind of like an open area where you can run around and scout monsters. It's not a good idea yet because your reputation isn't up in that area. So what you do is you go, and almost every area has a dungeon, and then you go into that dungeon and you complete it. It ends with a boss fight, maybe two boss fights, and then your reputation goes up. And so then you run around the actual like area again, and it makes it easier to scout monsters. So that's kind of the gameplay loop for this game. And the actual setup of it is very similar to what you see in other Dragon Quest games, like mainline Dragon Quest games, where it's like you have some wilderness, you go to a town, there's like some problems going on in the town, and the hero has to solve them, and then you just work your way through like that. Like it's set up in a very traditional Dragon Quest way.
Which I love, by the way. Like, the way that it's set up, it feels very much like I'm playing a full Dragon Quest game as opposed to a spinoff, which is probably my favorite thing about this game.
Yet another reason why I don't get people who are, like, crapping on the narrative or whatever, because I'm like, it's structured like a Dragon Quest game is. Like,
do you like Dragon Quest games?
Like, it's brief. Like, I get it. Like, you know, some of the monster towns you get to, it's not like there's a lot to explore in those towns. It's usually just a camp with, like, three or four NPCs. They all have a unique quirk, but then it's, like, that kind of gives them some personality that I really appreciated. Like, I thought it was impressive the amount of, like, personality and kind of quirks that they packed into just, like, one or two lines from these NPCs. But, like, the structure itself feels like a very traditional, you know, mainline Dragon Quest game. And so, I mean, I was all in for it. But, yeah, with the dungeons, they get a little more complicated with having to do some things. And that was one that I was, yesterday or whenever we were talking about it, that it reminded me that I wanted to talk about at some point in the podcast episode when we got into more spoilers. Is so there's the dungeon. It's Shifting Sands. It is in a middle echelon whose name I cannot remember, but it's called the Shifting Sands. And it may be the Caprice one, actually. It may be the second, second area of the Caprice layer or ring of Nideria, whatever it's called.
Okay.
Where there's like golems and stuff in that one too. And anyway, so Shifting Sands. You go in, you essentially, the way you explore, there's a few stairs, but you drop into holes because there's like holes in the floor, and you drop into the holes where the sand is running down. But then there's also big piles of sand that block your view, or sometimes there's pillars that have fallen over that keep you from being able to continue walking down that path, right? So it's a little bit of a puzzle. Whatever, I play RPGs almost exclusively. I'm used to this kind of thing. Not a big deal.
So you see that kind of thing. It's not like you're being tricked.
But oh my god, like this dungeon, I don't know if, again, maybe it's like you said, maybe I was just being stupid or whatever, but I could not figure out where to go. I could see on the map, I had opened up the entire map, like it was all showing. But there was this one area in the middle where it has, like, the portal, you know, that lets you go back to the beginning if you want to.
Yeah.
Like, it showed that on the map. And there was even a part of the area where it's like, I could see that room. I just couldn't get into it because of a pile of sand in my way. I was like, I kept running back and forth. I kept running around and was really stressed out. Now, keep in mind, also, I was playing this. By the time I got to this part, I don't know. I don't think it was in the first weekend I had it. I sunk like 20-ish hours in the first weekend. And so it was probably, if it was not the first like 3 or 4 days of me having it, it was somewhere along in there. But anyway, so there's not like guides for this, right? Like it's not like
brand
you get stuck.
New. Nobody's out writing this stuff right now. Like people are writing this stuff right now. It's not already written.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, there's no video to watch. There's no guide to Google. I'm sure there's other people who have reached this point or are further than me already, but like those people haven't gone on the internet and been like, this is how you find your way to the ship through the Shifting Sands. And so anyway, finally, as luck would have it, there is a part in the basement there. There's a part where like there's a pillar that's fallen, that's off to the side, and you can actually run across it. But I just totally missed it. There's a couple of pillars like that I'd found, but I just had completely missed that one. Like, it was very well hidden. And I did. I spent like an embarrassingly long amount of time running around the Shifting Sands, where I actually like had, you know, you get frustrated and you just kind of have to sit the game down and you're like, I want to do something else for a little while.
Like it's not even come back to this at some point.
Yeah. Like, it's not even like rage or anything so much as just like exhaustion, where you're like, yeah, I'm going to go read a book, or I'm going to go like stare at the sky for a little bit.
Like, yeah.
It was that kind of thing where I just like sat it down and I was like, all right, you know, like I know I have to review this game. I know I have to beat it in a timely manner, but I can't do this. And so I sat it down, and I don't know if I came back to it that night, because I mean, I'd been in there for a long time, and I finally just by pure luck managed to get my way through it. And that was really probably the first frustration I really had with the game. And it wasn't like it was bad design or anything. It was just like me getting stuck for a little while, and the game being so new that there wasn't a way to just quickly Google it or like cheat my way through it.
Right. Yeah.
And so I just kind of had to figure out the puzzle for myself. But
it's like 1997 again.
Yeah, exactly. And so like that was kind of frustrating. And but you know, it wasn't like the game's fault or anything. It was just me trying to figure my way like through things. But with that being said, I feel like one thing that I do like about this game that I don't think we've touched on yet, that kind of goes hand in hand with all of this, is that I do like that each area does not feel too long, and it doesn't feel too short. Like, each area I think feels like about as long as you need it to be. Like, I would say, like, I estimated in my review that I think I probably spent an average of 30 minutes in each area.
Okay.
Like that's not like bad. Counting like 30 minutes, like probably 30 minutes in, like, you know, you go to the lower echelon of Caprice, since we've been talking about that.
Right.
And, you know, I probably spent 30 minutes there getting to the dungeon and then scouting some monsters after, you know, having my reputation raised. And then I might have spent 30 minutes in the actual dungeon itself and fighting the boss. Whereas, like, it never felt like really like I was getting stuck there. The only area that really felt overly large to me was the one... I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but the one, it's the lower echelon that's like a garbage dump, and it looks kind of like Midgar from Final Fantasy VII.
No,
like PS1 Midgar.
Not made it there, no.
Okay, well, that's one of the...
No, not at all.
Okay, so that's one of the lower echelons, so you still at least have one or
okay,
two
so
more.
I've still got that one left, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think there's... This is a minor spoiler for you and people listening, but I think there's five circles, and then there's like a little bonus circle that we can talk about at a later date before you start unlocking the middle ones. But anyway, so like, you haven't met Ludo yet, right? That's
Ludo.
Later.
I don't think so. His name doesn't ring a bell, but I might not have been paying attention to his name.
You'd remember him. Silver-haired guy, looks a lot like Sorrow.
Nope.
He's dressed like Cowboy Hat Man from Dragon Quest X.
Nope, absolutely not. Nope.
Okay, cool. So anyway, but there's like a area that's like a dump, and it really does. It looks kind of futuristic, but also like dystopian, and it really reminded me a lot of PS1 Final Fantasy VII Midgar running around. Not necessarily in a bad way, but just like that's just what it looked like to me. Like, that one I felt like I spent extra time in, but it was because the actual, not the dungeon part of it, but like the overworld part of it, is laid out in a very maze-like way. But also, once you get to the top portion, to the gate, it's like, the gate is locked. And I was like, no!
Oh,
Like, I just fought my way all the way up to the top here for this gate, and it's locked.
Yep.
And it was another one of those cases where it was like, you know, the game was still new. Like, this is even earlier in the game. So there was like no way any guides or anything was like up for this part of the game. And so I went around and just kind of explored, scouted some monsters when I could. My reputation was not up, so, but I was overpowered. So it was like, generally, I think I had like a 20 to 25% was what I could get it up to, even without my reputation being up. So I still managed to scout some because I really wanted a slime knight, the slime knights that run around in there.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And
I get it.
Which was a disappointment, by the way. I really wanted a slime knight, and then apparently my party was either too overpowered already or the slime knight just sucks in this one, because I was like, oh, I don't need you, and he just hung out in the paddock forever. He's still in the paddock.
Couldn't bring yourself to synthesize him?
He just didn't ever synthesize with anything that I needed him to synthesize with. Yeah, it was just like...
Oh, so he is a total disappointment.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, like I ended up finding it, though. There's like a little tower with some stairs and like metal stairs, because again, it's futuristic, you know. And you just run up the like scaffolding stairs to get to the top, and you appear on the other side of the gate. And then you can zoom once you get through the dungeon and all that. You can like zoom, but the gate still doesn't open, which I was disappointed by. So even after you beat that area, I ran back out and I was like, oh, the gate's going to be open for me now, because, again, this ain't my first RPG. I know how these things work, but the gate wasn't opened. And I was like, but that's how it's supposed to work. Like, the obstacle should be open now. I mean, you can zoom and stuff, so it makes it a little easier. But
zoom does make a very big difference in this game. It would be much more tedious if you couldn't zoom as easily and often as you can.
Yeah, and this is getting way, way ahead, so I'm not going to say where it is or anything yet, but there is an area later in the game. You leave Rose Hill Tower and there's no zoom locations. Like I filled out the map, so I don't think it's like that I've just like missed, you know, a corner that becomes a zoom location. I think it's just it doesn't have any zoom locations. At that point in the game, I think that's kind of the point, because it's kind of like, you know, you want it to be a little harder, so it's a little challenging. You can't just like reach a checkpoint, zoom back to Rose Hill Tower and have your party instantly heal and then zoom back to that checkpoint. So I think that was kind of the point of it. But still, even after like getting through that area, I was like, man, there should be some zoom spots here. You and people listening will have that to look forward to.
Yeah, that's great. Cool.
But yeah, I've really enjoyed it. My favorite areas in the whole game, I did not expect this to be the case, but my actual favorite in the whole game is the circle of indulgence, where everything looks like cupcakes and candy all the time.
It is so fun. I walked in on that, so the lower echelon of that, where I walked in, and I immediately got happy. That I'm like, this is what I play Dragon Quest games for.
Yeah, it's also bright and
cheery and happy. Yeah. And it's also the kind of thing that I've loved, like in racing games, ever since I saw Wreck-It Ralph. Anytime I see a like racing game that has a food themed, like candy and baked goods themed course, I get really happy to see. So it was that same feeling when I walked in here. I'm like, yeah, you guys know what you're doing.
It does. It looks like Sugar Rush from Wreck-It Ralph. It does. It's like you expect Vanellope to just like show up at any time and tell Sorrow.
Which would be wonderful. I would be all for that if I could synthesize the glitch. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think I really liked the first one, but I was also kind of like, I think I was kind of like, it felt that one, the first, because the lower one feels very brief, and all the lower ones overall are brief, because I get it. It's kind of just like introducing you to each circle and that kind of stuff at that point in the game still. But overall, I think it's actually the middle echelon of the Circle of Indulgence that is actually my favorite, where I spent maybe not a lot of time there because I didn't need like a ton of stuff. I got like the large mole guy. He's not the normal mole, but he's like a bigger one. Looks kind of like Don Mole, but he's orange. Like there are some monsters in there that, you know, I recruited and stuff like that. And that's when I was around that time in the game. That's when I was already starting to kind of get like C and some B rank monsters in my party. So I was doing a lot of synthesis because I was finally like the monsters you scout are still mostly like E rank at that point. But I was like synthesizing enough that I was far enough along so I could scout them easy. And I just had so much fun running around in there. and had a good time in the circle. It's the one where not Diabolic Hall, but the Molosseum is.
Yeah.
It's in the middle. The middle echelon of that one's pretty fun too.
I love the way that one looks too. It's the first circle where you
get. Is it Conquest? It's Conquest.
Conquest.
Right?
Conquest. Yeah. It's the one that I like because of just how it looks like a monster realm. Like it looks like you know, Transylvania with the red moon and castle at the end of it. It's just like that one looks cool. I don't know what the upper echelons of it look like, but I do really like the way the lower one looks. Like I really enjoy that.
Yeah, the other echelons look pretty good for it too. There's like weird flowers and it looks very like Dr. Seussist. I don't know. Anyway, it reminds me of Dr. Seuss in a good way. I've had quite a bit of fun with that one. Even the Circle of Caprice that you've been talking about, like I don't remember the lower one at all, but like the middle and upper ones.
Right.
Like those are pretty cool and have some pretty, like the actual like overworld areas are pretty expansive and fun to hang out in. And I like the, there's quite a bit of NPCs and some cool story moments. And I think it's the middle one. I think it's in the middle one when some pretty cool story things happen when you beat the Caprice middle echelon. Really like that one. And I am, I'm just like the, I'm not going to spoil post game for anybody, but that's, I'm sorry that I'm having such a hard time like placing and remembering the names of everything because it's been like it's been a good bit now since I was there like originally, and like my mind has become so full blown, like I'm synthesizing all of these like really high ranking monsters, like I'm trying to get the S rank or X rank monsters right now, and like I'm doing that, and there's also like I think I mentioned eggs last week, like you can do I'm trying to get like more rainbow eggs. As far as I know, it's still based on RNG, but I'm sure someone's going to figure out some kind of like rainbow egg farming guide. I have really bad luck with eggs. I think I said it last episode, but like 9 out of 10 times it's just a monster that like I don't even need. And then there were a few times where I got one that was like that would have a monster that was large, and it was like, this one seems to be unusually powerful, whatever it says when you get them. But yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, I'm still having fun with it. I think this is going to be a game kind of like how, with DQ Treasures, how I was still playing it like a month after beating the game. I was still just running around trying to collect stuff and having fun. Like that's kind of what I'm doing now, where it's like there's no real reason. For me, I mean, there's reasons, but there's no like other than just the fact that I'm having fun, where I'm just like sitting around and mindlessly like, you know, synthesizing monsters and trying to find cool eggs and things like that. And it's kind of like when way, way back when in like 2016, whenever I decided to actually get a living Dex in Pokemon for Pokemon Bank and everything. And I was just like constantly trading and hanging out on like the GTS and running around hatching Piplup eggs, because back then you could trade Piplups like prison cigarettes.
You could.
Anything
oh
you
goodness.
Wanted. The world was yours. And
man, I remember that. I actually remember sitting in my office at work trading Piplups with the door closed.
Yeah.
It was like black market Piplup.
It was. I know. It really was. It was like cigarettes in prison. You could just get whatever you wanted. The world was yours. You're like, hey, you want this Piplup? I can get you a Piplup, but I'm gonna need a Ho-Oh in exchange for this Piplup. Yeah, where I was just like, I filled up a lot of my legendaries that I was missing by trading Piplups. But anyway, it's kind of like that, where I'm busy doing that, and it seems like I know they're either about to, or maybe they have. I haven't booted the game up today, but gonna have an update for it. And it's like between that and the online stuff, if you really like the online, I could see this really appealing to people who want to spend time like on the competitive side of it and taking advantage of the online features and all. I'm not really much of an online person myself, but I could see this having longevity, not just for me doing my whole thing, but just with people in general playing it, like, I think this is a game that, kind of like we saw with Builders 2, where it was like, you know, a year later, people are sharing stuff that they're doing in the game.
Yeah. I still see people sharing things that they're building in Builders 2. It makes me so happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does me too. And every time I see it, I'm like, oh man, I should boot up Builders 2 and make something. But then I never do. There's always something else never to play instead. And I just never do. And I'm sure, like, I have, okay, so I've not said this to you or anyone publicly, but I'm trying, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm trying to 100% the Monsterpedia and Dragon Quest Monsters.
Oh, yeah.
So that means catching. That means catching them all, too, like scouting them all, right? So it doesn't just mean, like, encountering them. You got to scout them all, too.
Can you synthesize them? It counts if you synth them, right?
Yeah, as long as you have them, like, in your party or in your paddock. Yeah,
in your party, so, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'll do it because it seems way harder than, like, I was going to 100% DQ Treasures, and then I got really, really close, and then I ended up just kind of, you know, getting bored or something else came out, and then I never went back to it. I think I got, like, 98% through all the treasures. I mean, I did a lot of the treasures in that one. And so this is even harder, so I'm not sure if I'm really going to. But right now, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I've kind of got a big dumb smile on my face, and I'm like, I'm going to 100% the Monsterpedia. The only thing I'm not sure about, because obviously I'm missing some entries in my Monsterpedia, is I'm not sure if the McDonald's ones that were only in Japan, like the cheeseburger and all those McDonald's ones.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if those count, because there's, I mean, they weren't released over here, and I've seen some people online sharing screenshots of, like, eBay where people are selling them for, like, $75 USD and just, like, ridiculous things.
Holy crap.
So I'm really hoping that those don't count for the Monsterpedia completion, because if so, then there's like, no way I'm ever gonna 100% the Monsterpedia in this game. It's just not possible.
That's a lot. Yeah, but I was looking at those the other day, and I never thought to look on eBay to see how much they were selling for, and I'm kind of glad I didn't now. Good Lord.
I'm pretty
that's
close.
That's a lot.
I didn't bother. Next week I can run downstairs and I'll look, but just right now it would take too long and be too much trouble. But I need to look. I didn't look to see what my percentages were. I think my actual percentage of like the monsters I've seen is pretty high. It's pretty close to 100. Like I would confidently say it's in the 90s somewhere, because there's a few monsters that I know I haven't seen yet, like the really rare ones and hard to get ones, and then there's some that I think I've probably just missed either from not being either probably being like a seasonal exclusive, because there's some that are only exclusive to like specific seasons in specific areas, because there's some gaps in my Monsterpedia that like from what I've seen, at least, and again I have most of it filled out at this point, like it seems like the earlier monsters are, like, it's divided up by family, but still the earlier monsters are like toward the beginning part and they spread out from there. And there's a couple of like from, I want to say there's like two in the slime family that are just completely empty. And I don't know where I've missed them from, because I was pretty gung-ho about slimes. And I know that they're early on because of their placement in them. Like they're all, like they're in the same area as like the normal slime and like the she slime and the cure slime and that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure exactly what I've missed or where, but I know that some of the monsters that aren't in my Monsterpedia are like the easier ones. And I'm sure at some point that I'll just like Google where those monsters are located and then just go scout one real quick. Since I'm trying to 100% it, instead of just relying on luck, instead of just running around everywhere, like I'm going to follow my nose. I'm just going to see where it takes me.
Which is fun, but it's not really the most efficient way to complete a collection.
Yeah, especially when they're like exclusive to seasons and an area. That could take me forever. Like I might literally never find it, unless I just sit there at every season and every echelon, which would take so many hours, I'm sure.
So long, to
sit through there. Yeah, but anyway, that's kind of where I'm at just personally with DQ Monsters right now is getting Trying to 100% it. We'll see. We'll see if I really do that or if I don't.
That's a lot, though. Like, that is... I will be impressed if you do. Because that is... That's hard.
It is a lot. I think I can at least get 100% on, like, seeing them all. Even if I can't get 100% on getting them all.
Maybe.
But we'll see. I need to go...
With the unique ones.
Yeah, I'll need to check and see what the Monsterpedia says sometimes. We'll find out, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Also, happy holidays, everybody. This is our last episode before Christmas. So hope you guys have a great holiday weekend. And remember, if you want to talk to us on Twitter, we're at DragonQuestFM. You can also support this podcast over at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And just a special shout out to all of our patrons. We really appreciate all of you guys and are just very thankful to have all of y'all around this year and every year that we've been around. Really means a lot.
It's true.
And if you want to talk to me individually, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at DragonQuestin.
And I'm on Twitter and Threads at Professor Beej. And yeah, remember, like he said, we have our Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.